Growing up, I faithfully attended a Baptist church much like this one. And we had a small congregation of about 200 people on the Surrey side of Scott Road. And I began going there in 1993 when I was 2 years old. My family moved into the neighborhood and joined the church. And I stayed there until I was 24. At that time, I had graduated Bible school. I was now married. And coming out of that season, the church wasn't able to hire me on. There wasn't space. And I was encouraged to go elsewhere and experience something new in comparison to what I grew up with. And I had 22 years under my belt. And all of a sudden, I had to uproot a process that I did not want to go through. And these people were my people. They were the ones I knew the best, the affection I had the most for in the whole world. And now I had to find new ones. Not that they would be lost, but that much of the time that I would normally spend with them would be replaced with new people. Alicia, in my transition to being a part of this congregation and residents of Langley has not been an easy road. But we know that this is where God has called us to be and where we need to be. I'd only known one home. And coming up on 4 years now, serving the Lord Jesus alongside all of you, a lot has changed in my life. Some of you get a front row seat to that. And this past week, from Sunday to Friday, we had our annual hub camp out. And it's now annual because it's the second time we've done it. And so it's officially annual. And I've no signs of stopping. I booked it next year on Saturday. So here we go. Where half of the week is reserved for our grade 6 to 8s, the junior hub. And the other half of the week reserved for our 9 to 12s in hub. And there were many things we sought to accomplish this week out at Alouette Lake, where we're in the forest, in the trees, no cell reception with a bunch of teenagers. And one of the things that we hoped to do was to binge the Bible. We wanted to take advantage of the extra time that we would not normally have in the events that we would run throughout the year to do a larger canvas of Scripture. And so during the course of the week, over the first half, this middle section where we just had leaders in the second half, we read and discussed through two Gospels, two letters in the New Testament and one Old Testament prophetic book. And now I bring this up to warn you that there's going to be a lot of Scripture that we read through today. Because I've just come out of a week saturated in the Word, and I don't really know how else to talk about what we're talking about today than to just read and read and read truth himself. And so one of the things I didn't expect to happen, that kind of I knew, we could control it, we could say, hey, everyone has to come and sit in the circle around the fire and read the Bible together. It was one of the rules, you had to do it. But one of the things I didn't expect to come out of this week was to very strongly, for the first time, feel that these were my people. And that I'm so excited for the future that I have with them. My youth leaders are the best in the business. There is self-professed. Thank you for breaking up an emotional moment. But seriously, like, I don't know. No shame or no shots fired at any other church, but we have an incredible gift with the young adults and youth that serve in our youth ministry. And I'm so excited for the future that I have with them and the teenagers and the future leaders that just want to live out a significant faith. And I've never planned to leave. In the 4 years that I've been here, I've never planned to leave. But this week, God's vision for the next generation here at Southridge has never been more compelling. Never. And I did want to brag about my people a little bit and let you in on a little something that's been happening to me. But as for what we're talking about today, you now know that I've been a part of two faith communities, both Baptist churches, and they're pretty similar in how they confess and practice their beliefs. And they're especially similar around the person called Holy Spirit. In my upbringing, I knew that he lived inside me when I decided to follow Jesus. He gave guidance, and I heard about the fruit of the Spirit. And it was pretty basic. And the more that I read the Bible, especially in these last 4 years when I had to change communities and had new experiences, the more I realized that there is more to him than this. As I looked into the broken world around me, I realized that there has to be more than this. And now, I know we've all come from different backgrounds and different experiences on the third person of the Trinity, and some of you maybe have been a part of charismatic churches, and others like me have only been a part of a conservative-type church. And unfortunately, people's opinion on the Holy Spirit throughout the course of church history has been extremely divisive and opposing. This is going to be a gross kind of generalization, but the opposing views simply are led more heavily on either the Spirit or the Word, meaning that one church gets most of its godly inspiration from the Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, while the other gets most of its godly inspiration from the Bible. Maybe you've been in either of these churches in your life, and you want a little bit of what the other one has, maybe. Maybe you want to be a little bit more guided by the Scriptures or a little bit more led by the Holy Spirit. As a church, we cannot have just one or the other. We can't even just have some of one and a lot of the other. We can't even just have half and half. The church we need is one that holds fully both the Word and the Spirit in each hand, 100%. And now, I know some of you maybe have never heard of the Holy Spirit before, and this is, you have no idea what's going on, but I hope this next section of time is enlightening, because this is the presence of God among us and what you've experienced already this morning. And so today, I hope to canvas this promise that is present and active in its carrying out here today, and then what that reality of that promise is. And so if you have a Bible this morning, the main verse that we are going to start with is John 14, verses 16 and 17. And this is where the promise most obviously is laid out by Jesus himself. And he says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come. We want to be more aware of your presence, and as I speak and as we meditate on the Scriptures, as we pray later together, would you just have your way? Would you help me speak truth about truth? Would you make my small words big, like only you can? Give us a greater knowledge of your power and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, as Jesus is saying these words, he's in his final moments with his disciples, his best guys, before he gets arrested and crucified. And in John chapters 13 to 17, they act as a crucial final word of Jesus to his closest friends and eventual apostles of the early church. And at this point of the proceedings, Jesus has already, he's already washed his disciples' feet. He's exposed Judas as his betrayer and has stated his imminent departure from them. And now, first of all, before I go any further, God's Spirit, this isn't the first time that it's mentioned or it shows up. It's been in the biblical story since page 1, verse 2. The Spirit is present and active in the creation of the world, and it also makes appearances periodically throughout the Old Testament in the life of Joshua and others, empowering them for specific tasks to accomplish. Now today we're talking about a more permanent presence of God's Spirit, the same one that Jesus himself received at his baptism and the one he speaks of in this verse. Now, Jesus, he, in this verse, speaks in complete unity and submission to the Father. He asks for something that he knows he's going to receive already, and he kind of flaunts it. I know I will ask the Father, and he will send you. The word here used for helper is, or advocate, is parakletos. Okay, so parakletos. Say that to the person beside you. Okay, parakletos. Parakletos. All right, you are 0.001% of the way getting to the same knowledge as Larry Perkins about Greek. Okay. Actually, it's probably less than that. That was generous. That was generous. So, this is translated in your Bibles, depending on what Bible you have: comforter, counselor, helper, advocate. The one that is called alongside. And in this verse, Jesus is asking and praying for the arrival of another parakletos. He already is one with them physically, literally there. He has come alongside them. And he has just announced his immediate departure in 14 verse 2. This parakletos is to be with the disciples forever. Should be comforting since Jesus just said he was peacing out. Jesus had been leading them, advising them, teaching them, empowering them, and critiquing them, and this time was coming to an end. So the followers needed a new companion to do all of those things. And even still, chapter 14, verse 12, to do greater things than Jesus himself. Now that's a bold statement. What could be more powerful or better than the physical Jesus? One of the Gospels we read at the campout was through the Gospel of John in the second half of the week, and we stopped on this question. And I think we talk about Jesus so much that that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he be the best thing? But apparently, there is more with him gone and the Holy Spirit present. An ever-present Spirit of God than one physical man in one physical place. One that is both with and in his disciples. A spirit of truth. Truth from God that cannot be seen or known by the world, but his disciples know him. Later in chapter 20, 22 to 23, Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit by breathing on them. This is a commissioning to a new life, just as the first breath Adam was to breathe was from God himself. We who have the Holy Spirit have received breath from God himself. It is the true, if you are a follower of Jesus, it is the true air that you breathe. And if you are a disciple of Jesus today, I wonder, do you know the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to know the Holy Spirit? It seems pretty clear that the disciples have the Holy Spirit. But to have someone is not the same as to know someone. Someone can always be around, but you can never really know them. So who is the Holy Spirit? In Brett McCracken's book, Uncomfortable, he has a chapter titled The Uncomfortable Comforter. And he lays out 9 traits of the Holy Spirit, which are on the back of your message insert. And I'm just going to walk through them and read out a couple of the verses that correspond with them. And this is by way of just, it's more information. We're not going to sit in this super long. But the first one is that the Spirit is a person. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The Spirit of our divine comforter is the Spirit is our divine comforter in Christ's absence. That is what we just read, John 14. The Spirit is not just a New Testament phenomenon, 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. The Spirit is at work in the conversion of believers. Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The Spirit guides us into truth. The Spirit helps believers in desire and practice of virtue, the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. The Holy Spirit is God's presence within each believer, Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Spirit empowers mission and grows the church, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit is made manifest through the gifts of the gathered church, 1 Corinthians 12-14, Ephesians 4 and 5. And the Spirit expels and exposes darkness. This one wasn't present in the list in the book, but one that I'd like to add and discuss today. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Mark 1:25-27 says, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." Now that was a lot. We kind of just did a little dive in there. But all of these traits are essential to understanding the person called Holy Spirit. It's all really good stuff. All stuff that if maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, you probably understand, or at least you've heard it before. And I'm in the same boat as you. But the question I began to ask over the last number of years, as God gave me people to lead and to guide in faith through my relationship with other leaders in the city of youth, in other denominations, and in my own personal discipleship with Jesus, isn't there more than this? Isn't there more than more to God than the comfort of the comforter, the good advice into good deeds and truth, more but not less of just simply being there? And the more and more I read my Bible, the more I see a powerful, active, passionate God who longs to be in our business and building his kingdom together. I don't have all the answers, but this message will not be sufficient for us to sustain a movement forward, but we need more. The last trait that I mentioned, that the Spirit exposes and expels darkness, hits a little bit closer to home for me right now. Well, my family, in the lead up to this message, the camp out, Alicia was taking a class this past week, and other life things, there wasn't as much time that I would have liked to spend in preparation for today. So the main ways that the Holy Spirit communicated to me was to speak focus on this last point over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Over and over again, the realities of dark things happening in our world, near and far, kept bombarding us. We were personally attacked as we tried to process and talk about the evil that is against us in the world. And we felt powerless. We took a look around, and just going through a social media feed, maybe the things that you like and follow are kind of neutered or protected, but if you just kind of click on a couple links after another, you can see some disturbing things. To know that we have a helper in this area who gives us authority and power over evil, and to not use it makes me sick. I didn't understand why I was just sitting like, oh, I guess I can't do anything. That's not like, I can do things within the people around me or maybe myself, but I can't really do anything about that. That just seemed wrong. I didn't know where to go or what to do. And so all the reading of scripture at the campout showed me what Jesus is really up to, where he's actually going, and the bigger reality that we're probably not ready for. That there is more out there than what is literally physically against us in our lives. We don't realize or know what is active in the world, and often we are blind to it. And you've probably heard the old saying that is made true, that the cleverest trick that the devil played on man was that he doesn't exist. But I don't think that's the lie that we believe. I think we believe that the trick is that he's not up to much, and that he doesn't have much help, and that he's not actually as powerful as he is. And now the thing that I sit in this and I'm afraid to say is that I know where we need to go, even though I haven't been there before. I have a next generation of youth and young adults who look at their faith and the faith of the people in their Western society, and they see a small God, a small evil, a passive church. Everything is human dependent, individualistic, comfortable, and weak. They need a big God who opposes big evil through an active church in uncomfortable situations. The Holy Spirit might be the biggest player in the game in all of this, and there has to be more than living my nice little Christian life. God has to be bigger than the little things that happen around me. Evil and darkness seem to have a chokehold on the world, and I barely flinch. It doesn't faze me. It's just something that happens. Yet I have access to this power source that seeks to destroy it, to put it to death, as Jesus did on the cross. That same power. I don't have all the answers, but I know that we need to collectively wake up to the reality of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there was that big list, and I know that I'm kind of focusing on the last one, but that's the thing I think we're the most blind to. And so to begin this journey, we need to look at truth himself. We need to walk through some passages of Scripture that talk about the Holy Spirit and respond with prayer, even if you don't know what words you need to say, but just respond. I think this is the best first step, to hold prayer and Scripture together in both hands and say, Holy Spirit, breathe a new breath inside of my lungs. Teach me, teach us, show us, reveal yourself. We receive you. Now we have this corporate prayer time every Sunday, and this is coming a little bit earlier in the service, and this might be uncomfortable for you. But we've been doing this at Hub every Wednesday night for almost 2 years. Starting it was a huge step of obedience for us in our love for Jesus and the keeping of his commands. And it's not the easiest thing we do every week. Sometimes we totally suck at it. Most of the time, though, we encounter God in a way that we never would have. Something we cannot live without anymore. If this time of prayer that we have incorporated on Sundays is uncomfortable, if it's awkward, if you feel like it's not doing much for you, if you don't understand what's going on or just have a couple empty encounters in a row, it's okay. We are playing the long game. And we will keep praying until encounter is regular and normal. But we have to move on from it just being hard all the time to being hard some of the time. That we might be chomping at the bit to encounter the Spirit with and on behalf of one another. And I feel like I said to Alicia the other day or last night that as I was writing, and I was like, all I want to do is like just get to the prayer time. Like I just want to like just fast forward. And just spend more time in that space. And so that's what we're going to do. I want this time to be modeled after how we do this at Hub. So normally we pray in small groups of people that we know decently well. Not always. You don't have to know the person beside you or across from you or behind you. But you're going to need to find 1 to 3 other people and kind of shuffle in and identify them as the people you're going to pray with. And what's going to happen is I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to give a little bit of an explanation of what's going on. And then we're going to just pray in response to what is said, if it's true, to ask questions of God, to whatever comes to your mind, to communicate it. And again, if it's awkward, that's okay. We'll have some people at the back as well that you can go pray with. And after some time, I'll just move to the next passage. I'll maybe close in a prayer or just start reading it right away. And we'll just do the same thing over again. And then after the final passage in Romans, we're going to sing a song in response instead of a prayer in response. And again, if at any point you need to sit longer in this, if you need to come to an aisle and kneel or up at the front, wherever you need to go, just do it. This space is open and it's free. If you want to pray or shout or sing out, do it. And I know this is, again, I feel like this is a lot. This is a big ask. It's a big ask just to go in and have this time that maybe I would just be talking up here for 10 more minutes and it would be kind of nice. But we need to talk to who we are talking about. And so can you kind of look around, just identify in your head, like, those are the people, you know, give them a tap or whatever. Just like, you're my people. We're going to pray together. Okay. Just give them a little tap. If you're by yourself and you want to be by yourself, that's okay. If you need to remove yourself and go to a spot, that's totally fine. No shame at all. If this is the most awkward thing, it'll be over in 10 minutes. And then we'll sing a song, and that was probably awkward for you too. I'm sorry. But this is our active God who is present here in all the believers today, and we need to press into him. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in this place. I ask that you break down and just destroy any barriers or walls that have been set up by any people as they walk in. That you would disarm our fears. That you would take away and dismantle anything that any strongholds that we have in our life that we walk in with today, and just be present with us. Teach us, show us. Bring more revelation from these scriptures than I would ever be able to do by myself. Would you have this way, or have this space, your way, in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Those deep dives into the evil in the world, it doesn't feel free. There's a lot of people who aren't free. I'm not free. This week at the campout, there was a situation when we were, you know, jumping into some water, and I was just being convinced myself that, you know, as the leader, you know, everybody's having all this fun. I'm not allowed. Not allowed to take joy because I have to be in charge, and I'm not allowed to press into relationship. I have other people to do that for me. And I just needed to sit and do just the dirty work. And you know, part of that is true. But I was just fastened and locked in that space. I was not free. I was not free at all. And it came to a place where, and this is manifest itself in so many other places, where I just tell myself I'm not allowed to have the joy that comes from life. I'm not allowed to participate in the good, full life that Jesus calls me to. And so I had to repent of my self-righteousness, of my false humility of, oh, well, I'm just going to serve, and I'm not going to take joy in anything, because if you take joy in something, you're not serving, and that's wrong. What a lie. What a complete lie. And I'm thankful I have good friends who seek me out and force me into that water. What a moment to just jump in and say no to all the things I told myself no to. And I just had to get on my knees and just repent hard and take on that authority against the evil that was influencing me that I am given in the Spirit. And so often I don't understand it. I don't understand that Jesus' name is more powerful than those things. And I'm sure that it grieves the King when day after day his children, just like me, do not take authority against the works of darkness. For we have a King who has won the war against Satan, sin, and death. So we are to do battle now in the meantime, until the final victory comes for freedom. Because our God promises to return, we do not wait idly by, but we must stand up, pick up our shield of faith, to protect ourselves and those around us and pick up the sword of the Spirit, that we might do battle in both defense and offense. Freedom must be fought for, not in flesh and blood, but in spirit. So with the people around you, ask for freedom. Freedom from things that hold you captive, freedom from things that you know others are held captive by, please. This next passage is really similar, so just keep praying and just let it arrive into your prayers. Just keep going. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, that doesn't sound like the life I live in Langley. We're not called to be someone we're not, rather someone we are. We are sons and daughters of the King who have been given great authority in the Spirit, and we must look at the world around us near and far and say, enough. The works of darkness have no place here in our homes, in our ministry, in our lives, and disorder and chaos need to end. And instead, peace, grace, and truth. Those things need to be wiped out for peace and truth, and joy and hope and love to take residence in that place. They cannot, light and darkness cannot exist together. Our awareness needs to get bigger. Bigger than our little life. It's so much more than our life, but not less. It's the people sitting in the seats around you. It's the affairs of our city and our country and other countries around the world. When things happen around us that are not of God, we go to the advocate, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, to do something about it. Are you tired of fighting with your own power? Are you weary from carrying the burdens of your life on your own? Go to him. Please. Pray now. Holy Spirit, show us the pieces of armor that we have laid aside, that we are not currently wearing, whether they are the shoes of readiness, whether it is the breastplate of righteousness, whether it is the shield of faith or the sword of the Spirit. We have been exposed, and therefore there are probably some wounds that need to be healed. God, would you heal those wounds before you put that armor onto us and equip us? There are probably enemies that we have not done battle against in your name and by your Spirit that go free. Would you destroy them? Would you send them so far away? And equip us to do battle, to protect ourselves by your Spirit. Philippians 1, 9 to 11, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ and the glory and praise of God. There will be a time in many of our lives, I think, when we're going to have to do a little bit more discerning and approval of what is excellent and good. I think that the time is coming when it is not going to be as, we're not going to be able to be as aligned with our society as we currently are. And that's going to take some decisions, and that's going to take some long nights on our knees, and we have to start now. That maybe there are places and spaces that we need to take a stand in. Maybe there are places or spaces that we have just grown comfortable in the eyes of the world, that we look a little bit too much like those around us. There are undercurrents in our world, in our city, in our homes, and you know this, you've experienced this before, when something big happens and you're like, where did that come from? It all starts somewhere. And so would this prayer be that we would realize and notice these undercurrents now, not when they hit us in the face and drive us away from our King, but now? Please pray. Holy Spirit, we are so often just sheep, not knowing or having any idea of what's actually going on. And so would you reveal to us these things in the background and equip us to prevail and defend against them. But also, would you just take care of them? Would you swipe them away? And if you seek to use it or to show us something because of it, would you give us eyes to see that? Just have mercy on us. Have grace with us when we fail again and again, and we run to ourselves instead of you. And have grace when we're surprised about the thing that we didn't see coming. And have wisdom in that day to determine and approve what is excellent. Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against who? Peter? No. The church. By the power of the Spirit of God, we are on the side of history that comes out on top. By no means standing idly by, Jesus declared war on evil and invited us into the fight. And with that knowledge, we read Romans 8, 1 to 17. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, and the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Who wants that this morning? Come on. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh and to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you into adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Let us stand and respond in worship. I don't know what you experienced over the last half an hour or so. And I'm sure there were many different thoughts and emotions that went through your mind, and some of them were maybe suspicious or skeptical, or maybe some of them were in awe and you saw and something was revealed to you today that is either not for a long time or never before, but this is it. This is it. Pray quickly before I continue against all the deception and the lies of the evil one and all who follow him, that those would be gone from each person's mind in this space, that they would leave this place clear and knowing the truth, that the Holy Spirit is truth, and that this would bind them up in love and a new perspective to a new life, in Jesus' name. My mother-in-law shared a story with me last night. She is something else. She's a prayer warrior. She's a charismatic woman in that Baptist church I came from, and a person that I've probably not pressed into enough to glean her spiritual gifts. But she has a faithful prayer meeting every week with some other like fire ladies, and they intercede on behalf of one another's families in the world. And just this past Monday, one of the daughters of one of the women had a friend's church outside Edmonton. We were having a prayer and worship meeting one night, and it was just like full and powerful. And suddenly during the meeting, so this was about a couple months ago, during the meeting, they heard sirens coming down the street, and all of a sudden, a bunch of firemen just like broke down the doors and came in shouting, "Where's the fire? We saw flames coming out of the roof." There was no fire. It was the Holy Spirit moving from prayer, and all 8 firemen received Jesus that night. Would that be what happens in this place, people? Yeah, that maybe ain't gonna happen every Sunday morning where firemen come breaking down. I was like, "You guys again? Like, come on." But that is the Spirit at work. That is what we need in and out, day in, day out, week in, week out. Holy Spirit, come. Come and light a fire among us. May our prayer times of prayer light a spiritual fire in this congregation, in our city, in our land, bring reformation and revival in our day. Amen. May you know the Holy Spirit today. I look forward to realizing Holy Spirit more and more with all of you. Grace and peace.